You are at war with yourself and likely don't realize it. Your thoughts, beliefs, habits, and actions often sabotage you. Are they helping you overcome adversity or setting you up for failure? To win this battle, you must connect with your inner warrior. We all have a warrior within us, one that strengthens our resolve and helps us to rise to meet life's challenges. If you're just surviving rather than thriving, then it's time to embrace the warrior archetype, live the warrior ethos, and ascend. If you are a veteran, first responder, or someone looking to take charge of your life, find your tribe, and then be the hero of your own story, this podcast is for you. Join Mike Kinney and Matt Hastings, two retired U.S. Army officers who served in U.S. Army Special Operations and Army Aviation Units, as they share with you optimal performance practices they learned in their time with the military and Warriors Ascent, a 501c3 nonprofit that helps veterans and warriors with PTS.
Well, all right, everyone, welcome to the Warriors Ascent podcast with your hosts, Mike and Matt. We've got a special guest, Amy Schoenhoff. Super excited about that. So let me start, as always, by asking, have you ever found yourself in a situation where, you know, you're going through life, you're having an interaction, whatever it might be, the day passes and you're like, holy cow, I don't remember any of it. It's just a blur. I just kind of felt like, man, I was going through the motions. That's that system one that we talked about. I mean, sometimes that's how life is, right? You know, you're just like, oh my God, I've not been mindful of anything, any interactions. And, you know, and sometimes you get the feeling that you're really not savoring things, you know, that you had great experiences that, you know, maybe you took for granted or that you didn't relish. I mean, Chiefs just won the Super Bowl and all of that. And you're like, oh, okay, yeah, great. Another win, you know, third. There's that. Even just, you know, personal interactions, whether you yourself or someone that you've been involved with, you know, you have an interaction and rather than, you know, looking right at you and being attentive and you know, hey, they are really locked in terms of what it is that you're saying. They kind of do this. Yeah. And you can tell they are not engaged or attentive whatsoever. And how off-putting that is, right? Mm-hmm. And if you're guilty of it yourself and you're wondering, you know, why don't I have, I'll say, deep and engaging relations? It's because if you're on the phone, you know, while you're talking to your wife or kids, that may have something to do with it. So that's another thing that, you know, I'll say is often out there. Lastly, I'll say, have you ever found yourself in a situation where, man, you know, bad energy, or I've got a bad attitude, or, oh, that wasn't good. You know, this situation or this individual or whatever it might be, you know, really just gave me a bad feeling. And now I'm in a bad mood and, you know, your attitude ends up, it almost seems like it's, you know, foisted upon you and you feel victimized by that. If you've ever been in any of those situations and were wondering if there's a way to potentially remedy that, like, hey, what is it that you can do maybe to be, I don't know, more attentive or more attuned to life or, you know, to say, feel more positive energy or not be, I'm not going to say a victim, but victimized by other people's negative energy or whatever it might be. If ever, you know, you've been in a situation like that, well, we've got good news because we've got the pro. we've got Miss Amy, who's going to speak to the IAA model of mindfulness. Really what we'll speak to is intention, attention, and attitude. And I think she's going to give you some wonderful tools, you know, in terms of how to, I'll say, contend with at least, you know, a lot of that. And just some background. So Amy's with Mindfulness in the Heartland. She's been one of our providers at the Warrior Ascent program for years now.
Right.
Yes, love her to death. I mean, I've learned so much from her. Every interaction, I continue to learn from her. And with that said, I'm going to shut up now and give Miss Amy the floor, let her introduce herself and then speak about whatever it is that she wants to speak to. I think you're going to get a lot out of this episode.
Okay. No pressure.
No pressure.
Just be wonderful.
All right. Just be wonderful. Okay.
Yes.
So as Mike was saying, my name is Amy Zoe Schoenhoff, and I'm a mindfulness and meditation teacher here in Kansas City. And I work with Warriors Ascent during their week-long retreat to really just provide an introduction. What I like to call is kind of a sampler of some of the practices and principles of mindfulness. And kind of in my larger capacity as a mindfulness teacher, I primarily teach what's referred to as mindfulness-based stress reduction, which is an 8-week program in mindfulness, training in mindfulness. It's a really comprehensive training in mindfulness that is really secularly oriented. And what I mean by that is that it's really built for the average Joe or Jane, you know, that it's an accessible way for people to be introduced to the contemplative practices and principles of mindfulness.
You don't have to be a Buddhist monk.
No, you do not.
That's right.
No. So anyway, that's my primary foray for introducing people to mindfulness is that 8-week program. And people get kind of, like I said, samples of that within the...
Yeah, it would have to be samples in the 4 days when you're talking. Yeah.
That's right.
I think we only... Course.
I don't know where we get maybe 20 hours of your time. In 4 days?
Not even close.
Okay.
Not even close. I mean, we get like an hour and a half for, I think, 3 days.
Right.
Well, yeah.
So it's really just a...
it's a teaser.
That's exactly it.
I think the benefit really is just being introduced to the concepts, how powerful they are. And I think for those that want to pursue it further, you know, they can do so, whether...
Which is a great idea,
you know,
because
if they're local, they follow you. I know we've got some resources on our website.
Mm-hmm.
As an example, if you go to the resources tab of our website, we've got a variety of webinars that you've done at length with us, you know, via GoToMeeting or a webinar, GoToWebinar. That I'm not going to say anywhere near as comprehensive as your 8-week program, certainly, but a little bit more in depth. And we've got some assets on our YouTube channel as well. But for those that really want to, I'll say even more so, immerse themselves in what it is that you've got to speak to us about today, there's some of the resources that they can turn to. And of course, go to your website at mindfulheartland.com.
That's right.
That's right.
That's correct.
That's right.
Mindfulheartland.com.
Exactly. And seek you out and get even more mindful mentorship.
Yeah. Well, so, the intention actually in those 4 days is really to, you know, provide a very cursory overview of what mindfulness is, but also hopefully to inspire and, you know, give people a taste of, you know, what mindfulness might look like in terms of practice, formal practice, right, but also how people can practice mindfulness informally. And there are distinctions between those two things. Formal practice being more like meditation and formal yoga and movement practices, and the informal, like, how do I take my daily activities and bring greater awareness and mindfulness to them. So in that, that's what I try to encapsulate in those 4 days is just getting a taste of how those things can influence your journey when you're healing.
I think that's a great distinction. I mean, I think people tend to think, like you said, to time on the cushion or time on the mat or whatever it might be. And I think people have this notion that, all right, well, you know, I've got to sit down in the lotus position and om for an hour every day. And people are like, I'm not really into that. There is some benefits, obviously, to you know, a concerted daily mindfulness practice. But, you know, what I love about Amy's approach, and I'm sure you're going to, you know, explicate it for us, is you can be mindful all throughout your day. And in that, you know, that opening, that's kind of what I was alluding to is, hey man, if you're not mindful in your interactions with people, right, in terms of being mindful, attentive, you know, your intentions in that engagement, giving them your undivided attention, and then also attitudinally, am I coming into this interaction positively or am I annoyed? Did I just have a negative interaction with a lot of negative energy that I'm now bringing into this interaction that I'm not mindful of? And if you're not attuned to all of that, your interactions are going to be far less optimal than they could be. And that's always kind of what I've gotten out of much of what it is. So I'm going to shut up now, please. Explain more.
Oh, well, okay. So we are going to talk about intention, attention, and attitude today. And I really, this is really kind of the foundation that we begin with when we start talking about what mindfulness is. So first, I really want to kind of provide you with a definition of mindfulness, because that really sets the stage for the IAA model of mindfulness. according to Jon Kabat-Zinn, who's the founder of mindfulness-based stress reduction, he refers to mindfulness is mindfulness is about being present in a particular way on purpose in the present moment and with an attitude of non-judgment. Okay, so that's kind of the foundational definition that we'll use to start talking about this IAA model, which is was developed by a clinical psychologist by the name of Shauna Shapiro. And it just sits really, her framework, I think, just sits really well within Jon Kabat-Zinn's definition. And that is that the pillars that this definition rests upon are intention, attention, and attitude, right? So IAA, intention, attention, and attitude. So should we just break those down a little
Absolutely.
Bit?
Absolutely.
Let's break it down. Let's break it down. Okay. So intention, like in a very fundamental way, is about like knowing what you're doing as you're doing it. And that might seem really obvious, you know, to know what you're doing as you're doing it. But you spoke to something in your introduction, that idea that we can go through large portions of our day and have no recollection of the details of what we were doing. Right. And the example I always like to give is driving our cars.
Yes.
Always.
You know, like how often do you drive from point A to point B and just have no recall about how you got there, what you did along the way? And what's so interesting, what we refer to those moments as are moments of being on automatic pilot. And we can all relate to automatic pilot. We do it in all kinds of ways every day. It can be in the midst of a conversation when you're not really paying attention to what's being said, but rather rehearsing your response,
right?
Yeah.
In your head, thinking, having all these internal conversations about the conversation that somebody's trying to relay to you, right? It could be like the simple act of like brushing your teeth in the morning and not really paying attention to it, because in your mind, you've done it a million times. You know what it is to brush your teeth. And I would like to say that, you know, autopilot, so many of the things that we do that may not be as skillful as they could be, often serve a purpose, right? So our autopilot, in many ways, when we're on autopilot, it's a time-saving device, right? It's just that we do it too often. And we check out in moments when we really need to be checked in, right?
That's right.
So this idea of intention is knowing moment to moment what we're doing as we're doing it. But then the other like nuance, there's two other nuances to this. And one has to do with knowing what's fueling or driving what we're doing. So when you think about intentionality, like what is the energy behind what I'm engaged in right now, right? And you use this example of like, you know, being in conversation with someone and, you know, having kind of the residuals of a bad engagement,
right?
Or perhaps the memory of a bad engagement with this person or someone who's like this person or whatever. If we were to check in with ourselves in that moment, like if we were to really bring presence to our direct experience, we'd be able to notice like, oh, I'm really agitated right now, right? It's being able to notice that too. Like what is driving me in this moment? I have a perfect example today. Like I have one of my children is just really good at showing up and asking for something exactly at the moment that I have absolutely no energy to give to them. You know, like I am in the midst of something deep and really trying to get something done. And suddenly they need something from me. Right? And I was noticing in my response to them, like that curtness, like, just like, please get out of my space right now so I can finish doing this. But like, it's this moment of recognizing like, I'm not showing up in the way I want to show up with my child in that moment. Like I'm laying on them something potentially that might make them feel bad about themselves when it's really just about the fact that I'm engaged in something really intently and wanting to get it completed. So how is that influencing, how is that driving mechanism influencing how I'm showing up? And that becomes really important to our daily lives as well. And then this leads to this third piece about intention, which is our values, you know, bringing awareness to like how we say we want to be in the world and how we show up. Right? How we actually show up. And if you don't have awareness about those intentions when you're walking into your moment, or bringing awareness to your moment when you're living your moment-to-moment experiences. I'll say it like that. If you don't have that awareness, oftentimes you may be driven by things and behaving and engaging in ways that you would be mortified, especially if you're checked out, you know, especially if you're not paying attention, that you would be mortified about, like, how you're showing up, because it might be so, you know, off center from where you say you want to be.
Yeah, you see that. I see that a lot, where somebody claims they want this, but they act this way, and you're like, well,
right,
that's two separate things. You can't get there that way.
You can't get there from here, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Reminds me of that Saturday Night skit. You remember Saturday Night Live skit?
Of course, yeah.
Can't get there from here, you know?
Yeah.
So it's really important to have this kind of foundation of knowing or having awareness of intention. What's driving us? How is it aligned? And what is the kind of feeling behind it? You know, what is it? Is it something we want to kind of be disseminating out into the world? I often use, do you remember in the training we talk about the, I use a lot of driving analogies because I think they are so relatable.
Yeah.
And we talk about the rumble strips along the side of the road, and like, what is their purpose? And what is the purpose of a rumble strip?
Wake you up.
Right.
People are doing exactly that. Yeah, they know.
Right. Mm-hmm. They get your attention.
Mm-hmm.
They tell you you're moving out of your lane.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what intentionality is. It's recognizing, oh, I'm either in my lane or I'm not in my lane. Right?
Yeah.
And it's the mechanism by which we can bring ourselves back. It's often referred to like as the compass of the heart.
Boy, and you got to be really truthful with yourself on this, you know, like,
mm-hmm.
I think that's one of the hardest things about something like this is going, okay, hey, wow, I recognize I'm bringing this curtness to my family, mm-hmm. and I need to stop it. That takes, like, I don't know how you get there. That's, I mean.
Well, that's the double-edged sword of this practice, because once we have awareness, then we have choice, right?
Yeah.
Then we can do things differently. It's also incredibly humbling. Like, there's no point, at least in my practice, and I've been practicing for over 30 years, like, you know, life just sat me down today and reminded me, you know, like, this is work that is perpetual and ongoing in our lives. And it's good to be humbled. You know, it's good to remember that there's no graduation. There's no point at which you're, I mean, you can be an expert in terms of knowledge, experience, but in terms of like mastery of your humanness, I mean, to me, that's a lifelong.
It's an ongoing thing.
Yeah, it's a lifelong endeavor.
I think that's what the masters know, is that there is no end to it. The practice is daily.
The practice is the practice, yeah.
And that's when you're a master.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, some of the things that you've, I'll say, introduced, you know, moment to moment, right? The here and now,
mm-hmm.
right? I think is an important concept, because, you know, we've said a few times at Warriors Ascent, it's depression lies in the past, anxiety lies in the future.
Oh, you're getting ahead of us now.
All right.
Okay.
All right. Now, I don't want to steal your thunder, but really, you know, and then tying back to the, you know, the Stoic philosophy, Marcus Aurelius and all that stuff. And they say the only thing you can control is your own recent thoughts, or, you know, control the controllable, control right now.
Mm-hmm.
So I think so many people enter into conversations or engagements or whatever, and they're not really there. They're like, what's for dinner?
Yeah.
Or, oh my God, I've got a suspense, you know, I've got a project due, and oh, have I done all, and they're not engaged.
Mm-hmm.
Or worse, they're like, oh, last time I had a conversation, it went so poorly, and oh my God, and this person's gonna think I'm an idiot, you know, and versus, and be, you know,
right here,
be locked on, right?
Right
be locked
here.
In, as my kids will say. The other thing too is, you know, again, I've quoted Oprah a few times, you know, you're responsible for the energy that you bring to this room and to this situation.
Mm-hmm.
So you talked about the residual. I catch myself doing that all the time. There are times you go in, you're agitated, you know, and whether it's wife and kids, they'll, hey, can I? And I'm like, what? What?
Yeah.
And some of it is that, you know, the psychological term ego depletion. I think that's what you're getting at too with your kid, where, all right, I'm in the middle of something. I'm at max capacity here. I've got to deliver, you know, and now you're coming to me with more. I'm at my wit's end, right? There's, you know, I'll say definitely that.
Well, and like what's so important in that moment that I just spoke to, it wasn't their problem, it was mine.
Right.
Right.
Right. And you're I was making it theirs. I was making it theirs.
Right.
You know, like what does it leave a person to feel like when you're they're coming to you for with need and your response obviously has agitation and doesn't want to be helpful? You know, like, I mean, it's just, we start to see in these like little and big ways, the ways that we get in the way of being how we say we want to be in the world.
And that brings up another thing too, in terms of that, you know, intentionality or whatever is, we've talked in previous episodes, actually some of the ones, the early ones, about virtues and values. Mm-hmm. And we talk about, you know, the warrior ethos and all of that, and then how that's tied to, you know, your way of being.
Yeah.
You know, it's very intentional, and it's not the case, you know, the ideal is not the case that you just show up and the circumstance dictates. I mean, sometimes yes, but if you're not staying true to who it is that you're endeavoring to be, like, hey, I want to be honest and forthright and supportive and nurturing.
Right.
And then you have an interaction with your child. I don't have time now. Just go away. And you're like, was that as nurturing as I'd like to be?
Right.
Certainly not. I'm not living up to my values.
Right.
Yeah. You know, no one executes perfectly, so we're not here to beat up on ourselves.
But I think
it's that attentiveness of knowing, yeah, you know, when it is that you're on azimuth, as you were saying, or not. But go ahead.
I'm just saying, the motivation of this whole thing is potentially the things you missed your whole life. Like, I was gone for all these times, and when I was home, I was too busy, you know, trying to fix things and get things ready to go another time or whatever. And the things that I missed, I'm like, I've lost them forever. So now I know that I'll always be intentional. I'll always be present, you know, wherever I'm if it's a good situation, I'm with my granddaughter today again for like the fourth day in a row. And it's like, I know that's, you know, I'm taking all that I can get.
That's right.
And so, and I'm going to be pure there, you know, so,
and saving,
and that's where this kind of stuff, you know, and people will tell you, be mindful. I didn't know what it meant, you know, so I appreciate the definition up front.
Mm-hmm.
And, coming to a 5-day event where you're going to get not only your stuff heavily, but there's, you know, Anna's stuff and then Jeff's stuff. So we're drinking from a fire hose there, you know, and a lot of it's just really hitting us emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a lot. So I really appreciate starting with the why.
Right, yeah. Right. And here's the thing. I just want to circle back to, like, when we recognize we're out of our lane, you know, when we feel the rumble strips, we can course correct. And I even with my child had to go back and say, hey, you know, I was a little flustered in that moment. It wasn't you. It was me.
Yeah, totally.
And I was dealing with something and you didn't do anything wrong. You know, like, just that simple thing of turning it back around and taking ownership. Like, then we have the opportunity to course correct.
Yeah, totally.
Because ultimately we will all at moments watch ourselves
make a mistake.
Yes. Yeah, thank you. Totally. I was going to say fail, but yeah, make mistakes.
I helped you with that.
Yeah.
And the FCC will thank me.
To your point, like, when I've executed at my best and I know, and I'm aware, you know, and my kid comes in or something, I'll be like, hey, I'm busy right now. Give me a moment. I want to give you my full attention.
Right.
Rather than be, yeah, you know, and knowing that he's going to be like, yeah, he's not paid. It's like, hey, bud, let me finish this in that way. And then you put that.
Exactly. All right,
now you've got my full attention. What do you got for me?
Yeah.
And that doesn't always happen. But I mean, when you're at least aware of it, you can endeavor to be like that and feel better about it and have, I'll say, a better interaction, a more productive one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Better
mm-hmm.
outcome.
So, you know, this is one of the ways that we get off of autopilot, you know, to bring awareness to what's fueling us in the moment, what intentions are present. Mm-hmm. And even as we practice, you know, like, many times before we sit down and do meditation or begin a day of practice, it's like, what is going to be my driver as I move into this day or as I move into this session of practice, like, to really establish intention, awareness of our intentions as we walk into whatever activity is we're doing can be really helpful and fortifying to staying in the moment and being aware of what we're doing as we're doing it.
Now, see, that's another great point. It's, you know, I listen to that Brendan Burchard guy, you know, high performance.
Oh, yeah.
Good dude. I mean, yeah, I like his stuff. But one of the things he'll say, you know, before a meeting or an interaction, he'll be like, you know, release tension, kind of meditate, like, let me relax. So that negative energy, you know, if you've come off something bad, you kind of, hey, let that go. So I say, release tension, set intention. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, that's oddly profound. You know, it's like, what is my intention? What's our intention for this podcast? You know, traffic could have been horrible. And I know you were like, hey, I'm having a day, you know, doing it, but you come here and you get your mind right and you're, you know, wonderful as always, you know? And I'm sure it's because you're like, no. Hey, I'm here and I want to send a positive message. You know, I mean, not to belabor it, but I think being intentional in, you know, what it is that you want out of this interaction or how you want it to go and not just have it be like an emergent property. Well, I'll just react to whatever energy they give me versus, mm-hmm. no, I'm going to come in, I'm going to be positive or I'm going to be whatever it might be. I think that's important.
Right. And it can move us out of should, what I should be doing, back to what I want to be doing. So let's move forward.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because there's a lot more to cover and we've only just begun.
Oof,
I know the second piece of this has to do with attention, right? Okay. And people are more familiar with this, the lack of attention that we all have. You know, those silly phones that we have that keep us distracted. I mean, I am forever agitated by the fact that I'll pick up my phone to execute one activity and I'll end up somewhere entirely different with absolutely no intention. Does everybody get that?
You started to do.
Yeah. I mean, we're just so easily distracted by bright, shiny things.
Yeah.
So the other pillar that this rests upon, this pillar of mindfulness, is the cultivation of attention, really learning how to focus and concentrate the attention and recognizing that our attention is much like a lens of a camera. You know, we can have a really focused and drawn in attentional capacity, but we can also have a very expansive attentional capacity. And so we're learning how to cultivate that, to have some awareness of how focused we are and concentrated we are, but also how expansive we are, and really developing that capacity. That's a lot of the training of mindfulness, is really learning how to pay attention, because if you can't pay attention, you can't really know what's happening in the present moment. If you can't bring yourself here, you can't attend. So that's a large part of practicing mindfulness, is cultivating attention. And there's research that suggests that being in the present moment, learning how to develop this capacity to be right here, right now, and bring the attention to the present has, you know, health benefits in terms of mental health benefits. Because the people who do dwell, take their attention into the past and ruminate on the past, tend to be more inclined to be depressed. And the people who tend to ruminate about the future and all the possibilities of things that could go wrong tend to be more anxious. Like we can instinctually kind of understand that. Mm-hmm. So being right here, right now, being able to focus on what's right here, right now, can have kind of mental health benefits for
Absolutely.
Us. And another reason why mindfulness is so important to develop, that skill set is so important to develop. And then finally, the last piece is attitude. You know, and this is like the quality of attitude that we're bringing into the present moment. Like, how are we showing up? And the things that kind of inform that are qualities like being curious. You know, it's really important to be curious. And that's something we, you know, honestly lose sight of. I mean, when you think back to when you were a child, when you were very young, you enjoyed being curious. It was nice to explore and try to understand things. And we asked lots of questions. And if you notice, as we go through our life cycle, we ask less and less questions. So part of what we're learning how to do is cultivate an attitude of curiosity so we can kind of investigate what's happening in the present moment. Like, why are things the way they are? Why do I feel... Yeah,
yes.
And right, and also that quality of non-judgment, that we're learning how to bring a more open and receptive attitude into the present moment, more kindness. Kindness is kind of fundamental to it as well. So that's really how we orient towards this definition of mindfulness: intention, attention, and attitude.
I love it. I tell you, I get a lot out of it. I like frameworks.
As an engineer?
Just be mindful. It's like, that's helpful up to a point, but break that out for me. And I've always thought you've done such a wonderful job. And we've got some things coming up in another podcast where you're going to break out even more stuff in a follow-on podcast, more tools. So, hey, we'll just leave you with this. Well, first, Amy Schoenhoff, mindfulheartland.com, mindfulness in the heartland. So if you want more of Amy and your local Kansas City, Brookside in specific, seek her out. I mean, she's been an integral part of our program for years. We love you and appreciate you.
Thank you.
But intention, attention, and attitude.
The big three.
That's right. All right.
I like
it. We'll see you next time.
Thank you very much.
Hi, Matt Hastings here, sending a thank you for watching this episode of the Warriors Ascent podcast. You know, we strive to build a community of warriors made up of our nation's veterans and first responders. And to reach as many of those in need as possible, we need your help. Please just smash that like button and comment or share our content. Warriors Ascent is a Kansas City-based nonprofit that aids veterans and first responders with PTS. I went through this effective program and want those that are struggling to find what I found. Check us out on our website at warriorsascent.org.